For those of you whom I haven't met, my name is Minton Williams, and I'm blessed to have a son who is named Clint Williams, who pastors this church. And I trust you find it a blessing for you as well. I want to thank Clint for trusting me to speak to the flock here at Believers Church. I don't take this lightly. And in praying about what to talk to you about today, the Lord really put some things strong on my heart. And let me say, what I'm going to talk about today is things that may stretch you, that may push you a little bit out of a comfort zone. But you know, that's good for us all. You don't gain any muscles when you lift weights that are just easy for you. You gain muscle mass when you push something that's a little out of your comfort zone. So that's what we want to do this morning. Let me start. I want to just read you a scripture. It's not going to be on the screen. Out of Matthew 28. It says, just before Jesus ascended, and Jesus came and spoke to his disciples and said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And the next words out of his mouth were, you go, therefore. What's he saying to us there? He's saying, all this authority has been given to me, but I'm telling you, it's time for you to go, and I'm giving you the authority here on earth to go and do. And what he says to them then is, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all I commanded you to do. So the reason I want to start with this morning is I want to start by saying, you and I have been given the authority of Jesus by Jesus, where? Here on this earth. We have to have an earth suit to have that authority. That's why he came down from heaven, to exercise authority here on the earth. And at the same time, I want to say this. The devil has no authority on this earth. None over you. He shudders knowing what you possess inside you, the strength that you have inside you. Now with that, I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, to Psalm 2. And we're going to read verse 8. And I'm teaching this morning out of the New American Standard. This is a psalm that weeks ago, you ever had a verse that just jump out at you, and for weeks you just can't get away from it, where it just over and over? This is how that verse was for me. Psalm 2, verse 8. This is Jesus talking, and I'll show you in just a moment why I say it's Jesus talking. And look what he says here. Ask of me, and I will surely give. Now let's just stop there. Ask of me, and I will surely give. Now, what is he talking about here? He's saying, ask of me. He's talking to the Father. The Father is actually, you're going to see, telling Jesus this. But Jesus says, ask of me, and I will surely give. And he's talking about giving Jesus the nations as his inheritance, the ends of the earth as his possession. That's you and I. That's what Jesus got as his reward for going through the cross. And go back to that scripture. Ask of me, and I will surely give. How many of us, when we pray, have the kind of confidence that Jesus is talking about here? Ask of me, and we know that the Father will surely give. How did Jesus have this confidence to say this to the God of the universe? Yes, it was his Father. But there was a reason that he was so confident in it. Go back to verse 7. In this psalm, the first three verses, the Holy Spirit lays on David to talk about the condition of this world. And I'll just tell you, the first three verses describe our nation perfectly, if you want to go back and read these sometime. And then in verse 4, it says, God sits in the heavens and he laughs. He scoffs at them. And why does he scoff at them? Because the next verse said, I've set my king. This will make you smile. I've set my king in Zion. That's Jesus. So no matter what we see going on in the earth, what should we be doing? Well, if we're to imitate the Father, we ought to be laughing at what the devil's trying to do, because he set his king on the earth. And we pick up in verse 7. And this is Jesus talking. And he says, I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. So he's saying what his Father, he's about to say what his Father has said to him. He said to me, you are my son. today I have begotten you. You are my son, today I have begotten you. Now when he says this, is he talking about himself being the only begotten son? Or is he talking about being the firstborn of the dead? He's talking about the latter. Why is that important to you and I? Because if he was talking about being the only son of God, we wouldn't have a chance. But he's the first of many. So when he talks about himself as begotten of the Father, then we get to include ourselves in there. And then you look down at verse 8 here, and it says again, ask of me, and I will surely give you the nations as your inheritance. So the question that I would ask you is, how could Jesus, how could he be so confident? Well, look at what he says. He says, Father, I'm going to tell the decree that you said about me. So what is he asking? He's asking the Father for what has been promised to him. Saints, there's a lesson for you and I in this today. There's a lesson in what, if he's promised us something, on how we approach it and what we can have in that. The question then becomes, how does that apply to me? If we can, let's look at John 15, the 7th verse. So we're going New Testament now, under our new and better covenant. And it says, if you abide in me and my words, that's a key word there, the word words. And we're going to say word and words several times here. And my words abide in you. What is God's words to you and I? What you're holding there in your lap or looking at on your iPhones or other phones. That is his spoken word to you and I. And look what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Does that sound a little bit like Psalm 2, verse 8? Ask of me and I will surely give. Many of us would feel uncomfortable thinking about that. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, John is writing and he's in this epistle and he says, this is the confidence. And isn't that what we were talking about that Jesus had? Confidence to go before the Father. And who is this written to? Don't just say it was written to a church at Ephesus. Who it's written to is you and I. Inspired by the Holy Spirit for you and I. This is the confidence which we, us, have before Him. That if we ask anything according to His will. What is His will? His words. The Word of God. So we're seeing words and will come together. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And the next verse says, and we know if He hears us, we have in whatever the request we've made from Him. So here we are. If we know His will and we begin to ask for those things, then what happens? We have, this scripture says, we know He hears us because we're asking His will, and we have those things that we are asking of Him. Now, let me just talk to you a minute before we go any further. Now, about this word ask in Psalm 2. This word ask in Psalm 2 does not mean to get down on your knees and beg. It literally means to inquire, such as you're making a request. And now, don't get religious on me and hear me through before we start making a decision on what you believe about this. It actually can be translated command. Now that sounds wrong, doesn't it? What do you mean, us command the Father? That's literally what this word means. But it's not us commanding Him whatever we want. What are we asking for? What are we requesting? Now you say, well, that was an Old Testament word. Yes. And you know what? The New Testament word that we just looked at in 1 John and looked at in John 15, that word in the Greek language means absolutely the same thing. So what does this say to us? Well, let me give you an example of what this means. Jimmy and Chris, I had the opportunity to meet and spend some time with them last year in Honduras, and they keep your power on around here in the city. What this means is when they get assigned a job to do, just like Jesus said to us, go and do this work. When they get a job to do, they get some kind of paperwork that they can take to their storeroom. And they present this paper. And what are they doing? They are making a request for those things that are on it. Knowing that, they're going to get it. It would be no different than if I gave one of you a check for $1,000. Or let me say it differently. I go and deposit it in your account. And I deposit this check in your account. And then you go to the bank and you make a demand on the bank to get whose money? Your money, something that has been given and promised to you. So this is what that word indicates, is that we're going to the Father, making a demand in the heavenlies, not just to Him, but concerning the word that He's spoken, so that we receive, we can take what we ask for. Hebrews 13, the fourth verse, tells us, go boldly to that throne of grace. It didn't say back in. It says go boldly. The same word translated boldly is also translated confidence. So we go confidently. It's not that we're going in a brash manner. We're going confidently. Why? Because we know that that's what He said to us. This is yours. Come and get it. Now, dear ones, that's a strong lesson for us as to how we ought to pray. What is the Lord doing when He says something? He's literally making a promise to you. You know, the Word says that the Lord can't lie. He can't lie because everything He says comes to pass. Everything He says comes to pass. Look at Psalm 138, the second verse. And I want to look at this to just strengthen our confidence, because I want you to see that it's the Lord's desire. It was Him who said, pray. It was Him who said, come to me and make these requests. Why? Because that's the process He uses for us to go and obtain what He's promised. Psalm 138, the second verse, says, I will bow down towards your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Loving kindness is a word there that means covenant love. Truth is everything that comes out of the mouth of God. And then look what he says. The psalmist says, talking about the Father, for you have magnified your word, those things that you've spoken, according to all your name. Now, if he's magnified his word according to his name, those things that he's spoken, how should we view that? What does he say about himself? What does he call himself? The faithful God. So if he's saying words, making promises to you and I, shouldn't that tell us that these promises he's made in Scripture to us, that he's going to keep? He's going to cause these things to come about and become for real in our life? Let me read you a couple of translations of this verse, of this verse 2. God's Word says, you've made your name and your promise greater than everything. Christian Standard Bible says, you've exalted your name and your promise above everything else. Now, why am I repeating this? Because we need to get in our hearts that when God makes a promise to us, it's not the same as man making promises to each other today. Because a promise, a man's word, is worth a small part of what it used to be. But when God makes a promise in His word to you and I, we can go to the bank on it and request that that check be turned into what we're asking for that was deposited to our account. Let me show you this out of the New Living Translation. I really like the way this verse is in there. I think it's in there. If it's not, I'll read it. It says, I bow down before your holy temple as I worship. I praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. Now let that sink in now. All of your promises are backed by the honor of your name. Does that mean that God's going to do what He says? Well, let's go back and look at the Old Covenant in Joshua, the 21st chapter, the 45th verse. Now, this is in the Old Covenant, and we have a new and what? Better covenant. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Why should our expectation be any different concerning those things that the Lord has provided us? Why should we see anything different? Promises that are made to us in this new and better covenant, they're all backed by the honor of His name. Now you may say, well, some of these things took time. Yes, they did. And what does the Word say for us to do? When you've done all else, stand. Just because we don't see something come to pass right away doesn't mean, if we're believing it, that it's not true, that it won't come for us. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? What do you need? Look at all Jesus accomplished on the cross. He just didn't give us a ticket to heaven. He gave us His peace. He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. The Scripture says He was made poor that we might be rich. Well, why does He want me rich? He wants you to have enough to have your needs met and enough to do whatever He asks you to do. That to me is the best word of being rich and being prosperous that I know. It's not about how much money you have. It's about you having a heart to let Him bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, just like He said to Abraham. So let me ask a question. We talked about we have authority. We've seen that Jesus, really I would say before time, said to the Father, you said, ask of me and I will give you. So that's instruction to us. So let me ask about this scripture. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible. Some of you are saying it with me. To do what? To please God. And then it goes on to say, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him, or pursue Him, or request from Him. So the question I would ask is, does that verse apply to our prayers? And I would say yes. Why do I ask that? How many times, don't raise your hand, I'll raise mine. How many times have I prayed for something when I had zero faith or confidence that the Lord would do it for me? And what do we end up doing? We end up becoming beggars. And I would say to you, beggars are not believers. And we have to come to grips, no condemnation. We have to come to grips, though, with this fact of when I ask for something, when I'm praying for something, do I believe it? Now, how do I believe it? How does faith come? Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, or the anointed Word, is literally what that says. So what is that saying? That's saying when we hear, when you hear Clint teach on Sunday mornings here, or what I'm doing this morning, then what this says to me is, I cannot just let this go into my head. I have to get it down into my inside being, my spirit man, the part of me that was born again. That's how faith comes. If we just get it in our head, the Scripture says knowledge puffs up. We think we know something when we what? Really don't. So we've got to get this Word down in my head. How do we do that? Scripture talks about meditating the Word. And many people would say to me, I don't know how to meditate the Word. So let me ask you this question. How many of you know how to worry? If you know how to worry, which is just what? thinking about what could go wrong over and over and over. If you know how to worry, then you know exactly the process that you should use to meditate the Word. You're going over and over what the Word says about the situation, pondering it, thinking about it, and letting the Holy Spirit put that and make it alive down inside you. That's what happened to me with Psalm 2, verse 8. Ask of me, and I'll surely give. I'll go ahead and tell you, the Lord spoke to me that for about 3 days, I couldn't get beyond that verse. And then as time went on that week, about 3 or 4 days, then He began to ask me, what are you asking for? And then a little later that week, He said, what is the body? We go to High Point Church in Macon. He said, what is my body at High Point asking for? And if I was honest with you, I would tell you that I had to say I was asking for more things about me than I was for the charge that the Father gave me, which is what? Go into all the nations, make disciples, and teach them. That's what we're here for. Everything that you do, everything that you're taught, is not just so we can get more and more and get fat, happy, and sassy. It's to put us in a position so that we can go and do the things like you're doing in Project 216, to make a difference in your community. How are people going to see Jesus in Sylvania, Georgia, if they don't see it in you? The short answer is they're not. That's why it's so important that we understand we have a God who would say, ask and surely I will give to you. We've got another verse that says, for God so loved the world that He did what? He gave. He gave. He gave the most precious thing that He had to you and I. Look at 2 Peter, if you will. We're going to read verses 2, 3, and 4. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? How many would like more grace and peace? Okay? I certainly would. How is it going to be multiplied to us? As we gain the knowledge, let me say the revelation knowledge, not head knowledge, revelation knowledge of Him. That says to me, you've got to be willing to get in the Word, and when you come to church, you've got to come with an open heart to receive what's going to be taught you in the mornings. Verse 3, seeing that His divine power has granted to us, His divine power has granted to you and I, everything pertaining to life and godliness. You have inside you today everything you need to live this life abundantly and to live it in a godly manner. It's all inside us, but we've got to learn to draw it up. Verse 4 goes on to say, for it's by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Those things that He's told us are ours, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Whose nature are you supposed to partake and be conformed to? Jesus. You know, people will say, what do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Just trying to act like Jesus? And with a smile on your face, you say, yes, absolutely. That's who I'm called. And what we need to see is we have that equipping inside us, so it's not something we have to do. We become partakers of what He's already put inside us. And you say, yeah, but I can't get free from the world. Look at the last line in this verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. That says to me that part of these promises is going to help us walk away from this earth and look so different that our light shines so brightly that people are going to come to you and say, are you a believer? There's just something different about you. You're at peace when everybody else is falling apart. When someone says they have a need, and you don't have a lot of money, and they don't have a lot of money, but you're willing to sow into that person's life. They're going to see a difference in every aspect of your life when we begin to act on what this Word says. In other words, act like we really believe it. Let's go to James 5. And I want to take some time here. looking at some verses. And I'm actually going to back up and start with verse 13. And I've thrown a curveball to them because I didn't put this one in my list. But I want to start with 13. In James 5, 13, James is writing to the saints, and he makes this statement. He says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray." And then he says, "Is any among you cheerful? Let him do what? Sing praises." So this seems like a strange question. Is anyone among you sick? Let him pray. We're talking about praying this morning. We want to get to a point where we see our prayers produce to become effective. And this starts out saying, is anyone amongst you suffering? What this says to me is that the first person that ought to be praying when something comes against you is who? Is me. Yet our tendency, and don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying don't ever call somebody and ask them to pray. But the Lord wants you to have enough confidence in His Word to you that you're willing to ask Him first for your own behalf. Well, how do you know that means that? The next phrase of it, look at it. Excuse me, go back to 13 if you would, since you were quick and got it up there. How good they are. He says, is anyone cheerful? Then let them what? Rejoice. Now, what would you think about me if I went to Cam and said, Cam, I'm cheerful today. Would you rejoice for me? You would think I've what? I've lost my mind. So what he's saying here is that when we're cheerful, we need to be rejoicing. If things are coming against us, we need to be asking the Lord, why should we do that? Because we have a word that says to us, ask of me, and surely I'm going to give you. You see, where I'm encouraging us to go now is to get very bold in what we're asking the Lord for, those things that He's promised us. Verse 14 then says that the prayer, is anyone among you sick, then he must call for the elders of the church and there to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And it continues. And the prayer offered in faith. The prayer offered in faith will do what? Will restore the one who's sick. So if we take that, and we say, okay, the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who's sick. How about a prayer that's not offered in faith, where there's no confidence in it? Many of you are shaking your head, and I've been there, I've done it. And except on rare occasion where God just showed tremendous mercy on us, my answer to you would be, it doesn't happen. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. What is He doing? He's taking your prayers, your words, and He's turning and offering them to the Father. So He's saying, Father, do you hear what Wesley's praying? Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying what I said, and I only said what I heard you say. He's taking our words, Father, and He's blessing us with those words because He has confidence that we're going to do it for Him. Now, what is Jesus going to turn to the Father with when we're praying something that we can't find scriptures for or something that we don't believe? He has nothing to use to intercede for us with in that case. So we need to have the knowledge of what these promises are so that we're praying and pursuing those things. Look at verse 16, and I just want to look at the last phrase in that. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, if I asked you today, who in here is a righteous man, how many of you, or woman, how many would raise your hands? Okay, let me ask the question differently. If I asked you in here, how many of you are saved and are absolutely sure you're going to go to heaven when your life ends on this world, how many would hold your hand up? Okay, if you're not holding your hand up, then we may be praying for you at the end of the service, okay? But what I want to say to you is if you held your hand up, you are the righteous man. If you held your hand up, you are that effective prayer. So when we've been born again, here's another verse that tells us, I should expect everything I ask of the Lord that He shows me in His Word to come about in my life. What is walking by, what's the phrase that comes after, we walk by faith and not by sight? What does that mean? That we walk and believe things that we may not be able to see. How many of you have seen your name written on the Lamb's Book of Life? Okay, now almost everybody in here raised their hand when I said, are you born again? So you're walking by faith, believing that, even though you haven't seen it. And we walk by faith instead of by sight because sight, things that we see here, are temporary. They're temporal. They're not going to last long. The things that we can't see, those eternal things. You know, when Hebrews talking about the Lord creating the earth, it didn't say He made the earth out of nothing. It said He spoke words. And how was the earth created? From things not seen. There is a realm in this spiritual realm that is more real, and we're going to see that when we step out of this body, that is more real than anything we see on this earth. You sit in that chair because you have confidence that it's going to hold you up. There is a realm that we can't see that we have promises in, and that in that realm, you can be just as confident as you are sitting on that chair today. That's how the Lord wants us to pull and grow, because He's got such a work for you to do here in Sylvania and Screven County and the surrounding areas. This area needs a light to draw people to. We're seeing it because there's a lot of you whom I've never met in the, 17 and 19 years we've been coming to Sylvania since Clint's been here. Now, let's talk about for a minute a word that's not in my New American Standard translation. King James and other translations will say the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. So let's talk about the word fervent. Now, that word fervent really is not in the original language. It's added as a part of effective. The word for effective is the word we get energy from. So what that's saying is the effective prayer are the prayers that were energized by our faith. But what does this word fervent mean? Dictionary says it means very hot or glowing. And it can also mean that you have strong feelings or emotions about something. I would submit to you that fervent there is not talking about strong emotions. You know, there's a scripture that talks about, I've got a fire shut up in my bones. Several of us were talking about it earlier. There's a song that goes on about that. It just over and over, I've got a fire shut up in my bones. That's that fervency that we need. Why do we need that? What does that mean? It means I have such confidence in the Word of God that it's what? It's lit a fire on my inside that I can speak that Word and it's going to come about. Now, let me ask you then, if that's what fervency means, what is a fervent prayer? Now, please, don't anyone take any condemnation, because the Word tells us there are now for how much? No condemnation. if you've done some of these things, as I have, then today you've got a basis to act differently. Let me tell you what I hear people say concerning prayer. I need you to pray real hard. Somebody's had been asked that or asked it. I need some serious prayer. Or I need you to really pray because we got a real big need. Do those sound like what a fervent prayer is, of what we just talked about? Yet, how often do we get into a trap where we're trying to earn, by praying in that manner, get everybody to pray? Now, I'm not saying there are times when we don't want everybody to be praying. I think everybody needs to be praying for our nation right today. But this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about us having such faith and confidence that we can go ask Him, knowing that He's going to give it to us, versus what are we really saying when we say, I need you to pray and you to pray and you to pray. We're saying we don't have confidence ourselves in what the Word of God tells us. Now, my pastor says, that's tight, but it's right. And we need to understand that. There are times where the Lord wants us to step out in faith, like you're stepping out and Peter did, walking on that water. And as long as he saw the Word, Jesus, he walked. But when he took his eyes off of it, he began to sink. You know, so often it's like when we pray, we're approaching God with a crowbar. What do you guys do when you have to get a crowbar and pry something loose? It's like we're taking a crowbar and we're trying to pry a promise that God has given you and I out of His hands. That's what we mean. Pray long. Pray hard. I would prefer 5 words to be spoken in faith than 5,000 in a wishing and a hoping. And I'll tell you, it will produce more. And it will produce more out of your mouth. How many of you have heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Great evangelist. Preaches to folks in Africa. He's retired now. Lives down in West Palm Beach, Florida. But he would preach to 1.7, 1.9, 2.3 million people at one time in Africa. And the Lord came to him one day and said, my word in your mouth is just as powerful as my word in my mouth. Why could he say that? Well, what have we seen all through today? You say what I say, it's going to come to pass because I said it, and now we're saying it. And then what's the next thing that happened? He's watching over his word to perform it. Folks, you are the authority in this earth. If we don't speak, if we don't ask for these things to come about, then things won't change. You are the change agent here, just like Jesus was. Let me give you one final example, and we'll begin to wind this down. Elijah. Verses 17 and 18 in James 5. Says Elijah prayed how? Earnestly. And it did not rain. So he prayed, is literally what it's saying. Now, an earnest prayer to me sounds like a fervent prayer. And then it said Elijah prayed again and it did what? It rained. So might we look at Elijah and find out what he did? And he was under some pressure. So let's look quickly at 1 Kings 17, at the prophet Elijah. And it's verse 1 simply says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, and Ahab was this king who wanted to kill him, he and his wife Jezebel, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall neither be dew nor rain these years, how? Except by my word. The prayer that Elijah prayed that caused rain not to come for years was this declaration. How could he say that? What do you think happened before this time? You think he heard something from the Lord? Is that any different than you getting a revelation of what 1 Peter 2:24 tells us? That by his stripes you were healed? Folks, this is the promise we have. If we look at 1 Kings 18:1, it goes on and it says, "Then it happened many days after that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth.'" And then if we look at the verses in the closing part of that chapter, which I won't read, I'll tell you what happens. It said Elijah, that's when he sent his servant. He said, "You see a cloud?" "No." "You see a cloud?" "No." "Go back seven times." And he saw a little cloud, and he said, "Get on your horse, Ahab. It's going to rain." What did he do? He said what the Lord said. He had confidence before the Lord to say that. Jesus prayed the same way. Look at how Jesus prayed throughout the gospel accounts. Only one time did he say, "Lord, if it's your will." And that was when he knew what was about to happen on the cross. Every other time, he just spoke the word of the Lord. That's what we need to do today. Let me close by looking at John 14, verse 12. I told you I wanted to challenge you. I trust that the Holy Spirit has. Jesus, this is red letters, "Truly, truly," that literally means "so be it." It's the Hebrew word for amen. "So be it, so be it. I'm saying to you, he who does what? Believes in me. The works that I do, he shall do also." And then it says, "And greater works than these shall he do." Why? "Because I go to the Father." This is who we are inside. This is who we can pull it out. As we pray, as we read, as we have the revelation of the Father come more and more out from us. Go back to Psalm 8, verse 2 someday and just begin to meditate. "Ask of me," says your Father, "and surely I'll give to you." So let me ask today, and I'm going to ask it more boldly because every hand didn't go up when we asked earlier. Is there anyone here today who can't say with confidence that when my life ends on this earth, I'm immediately going to be in the presence of the Lord? So just bow your heads with me. Is there anyone who can't say, "I am absolutely sure that I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord"? Is there anyone who says also, because you get back into that presence the same way, "I used to walk with the Lord, but I'm not right now"? Well, praise God. I'm just going to believe that everyone who didn't raise their hand earlier just for some reason didn't want to. Don't leave here today if you don't know him. This is the abundant life that he has for us. He will provide those things that he's promised in his word. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of promises. And they're yours and mine. And he wants to manifest them in your life.